Well, there is another location that we need to focus on as well to understand Bible prophecy, and that's the European Union. Often I say when I'm speaking, in fact, I've been teaching the students here at the Word of Life Bible Institute in Canada, here in Owen Sound, and what a lovely spring it is here. Cool in the evening and kind of just warm enough in the day to just make it exciting to get out and have a wonderful time. It's been great, but the students have been marvelous. But I started that by saying I was teaching them that the revived Roman Empire, I would consider at least the European Union the infrastructure for this revived Roman Empire. So in addition to looking and focusing on the Jew and Jerusalem, you got to see what's happening over there in the European Union, if indeed it is setting the stage for Bible prophecy, because the European Union has to come to power, or Freudian slip, the revived Roman Empire has to come to power before we see the Antichrist put together that peace treaty. Now, Rob Congdon, Dr. Congdon, you have been eavesdropping on what I have been saying. Would you agree? Would you come to the table with something different, or are we in pretty much lockstep?
Oh, I think we're in lockstep. The direction, at the least, if we say the direction of the European Union, if it continues in the path that it's both headed on and what its founders dreamed of, certainly could fit that description very well as the beginning, I always say, the embryo of the coming reformed Roman Empire.
I like that, the embryo of the coming reformed empire of the Romans. Well, that is great. Now, in light of that, let me then discuss some news items with you and see if we can get some more meat on the bones that we're looking at in this prophetic scenario. For example, it comes out of Brussels, Belgium. The European Union is keen now to sending in UN monitors to Syria to help kind of keep in line what is a very loose ceasefire. And as we're on the air, I don't even know there's been changes, but here the European Union is going to get involved in the Middle East, and that's what the Roman Empire, the revived Roman Empire, will do in Bible prophecy as well.
Oh, absolutely. If we remember that just if we take the Jewish population during the height of the Roman Empire, it represented almost a third of the population. So the Middle East has always been important in terms of the Roman Empire, its history, and the involvement with it. The European Union continually seeks to be involved in the Middle East, and Syria being a real hot point at this point, they really want to be involved there. And so when they say, let's send UN monitors, what they're hoping to do is take the lead in this, so the world will say, oh, it's really the EU that's going to bring order, if you will, to Syria, and those monitors are going to be, in reality, their representatives. So it's really kind of a backdoor into the Middle East in a current hot spot that the EU wants that place. And so, yes, they're standing up, they're speaking out, and their interests are great in the Middle East.
You know, just a moment ago, I was talking with David Dolan, and we were talking about a statement that was a headline in the Middle East news. Jordan's King Abdullah wants to divorce the Palestinians. Now, about 77% of the population of Jordan is Palestinian, and I guess the mass majority of that 77% would be the refugees. They came over in 1948. It was originally the children, the wives, and the elderly, when the men who were going to try to wipe Israel into the Mediterranean Sea stood back to stop this Jewish state from coming into existence. Now King Abdullah concerned about this, but I understand the king's going to be addressing the parliament there at the European Union this week. Is he helping, asking for help from the European Union? Do you have any idea what the content of his message is going to be? And what is the relationship between, for example, you're saying the Middle East, but what about Jordan, the monarchy there, and what's happening in the EU?
Well, you always have to remember the history of Jordan. And so we can look at that and guess that that will play part of what he'll have to say. Jordan was the part of the two-state solution that the European Union, not in existence at the time, but the League of Nations, which was a forerunner, which they had agreed to allow this two-nation solution. One would be Jordan and one would be Israel. Britain was behind it. It gave it international law, and they formed the nation of Jordan. So Jordan owes much to the European Union-type leaders of that era back in the 1920s. So they've had a good relationship. They represent, if you will, at least from the European Union view, more of a stabilizing influence there, and one that is a little more compatible with Israel. And so not only would Abdullah, he's concerned about those Palestinians. They've tried to have an uprising in his country many years ago under Yasser Arafat. He really is not crazy to have them in his country, so this is nothing new about him really wanting them out. And he's certainly going to be looking for the EU to put pressure on the Palestinian Authority in the whole issue.
Yeah, and in fact, he's simply continuing a policy that his father several years ago put in place, the late King Hussein, before his death. He tried to start divorcing Jordan, actually, they're Hashemites coming out of Saudi Arabia, and to divorce them, the Jordanian people, and most of the Jordanians are willing to go along with this from the Palestinian people that are living there in the land today. Well, wasn't King Abdullah, he was trained up there in England, wasn't he?
Yes, strong ties with it through his wife and just through his education. And you can't be in another country, a country outside of your own, for more than just a few years that you start understanding it and taking on some traits of it. And so there's certainly a strong British influence in him and in his history, and his father owed his power, in essence, to the British leadership of the 1920s. So I think there are strong ties there, and he doesn't want to see an Arab Spring in his own country. So he's going to be allied with those who help maintain, if you will, his status quo.
We're talking, of course, about the European Union with Dr. Rob Congdon, but our focus has been much on the Middle East, and I'm not quite ready to leave that yet. In Washington, D.C., the quartet, which would be the United States, European Union, United Nations, and Russia, representatives of all got together. The peace envoy for the quartet is the former Prime Minister of Great Britain, Tony Blair. They basically really didn't come up with a lot at this quartet meeting, did they? I guess the only thing they said, they're blaming the Jewish settlers to some extent, but they're also blaming the Palestinians equally. And so they didn't really choose sides, but they didn't advance the peace process much, did they?
No, they're walking a tightrope. They don't want to fall on either side, and they don't want to influence or appear to be really one side or the other. No, they haven't accomplished much. The Middle East has been a difficult time for Tony Blair, continues to struggle to work to try to bring some situations there. But I keep stressing that the real focus in Europe is their financial problems, and so to them the Middle East is important, and that's why they're involved with Syria and those matters. But that's almost like their second issues, and they're just focusing on the financial. This last week hasn't gone well for them, so there's more concern. We saw it here in the U.S. Our stock market took a big drop, all because of what's happening in Europe financially. So I think almost everything else is still bubbling a little on the back stove, but it's not the major issue. Finances is driving the EU right now.
Now, Catherine Ashton, I'll get back to finances in just a moment, but Catherine Ashton, will she not have a team over in Istanbul for this weekend? They're trying to have some talk, some of the superpowers concerned about the Iranian nuclear weapon of mass destruction that may well be almost developed, if not developed as of yet, with a power base there in Iran, a nuclear power base that is concerning to the world, that they're in Istanbul, Turkey, talking. European Union's concerned about that, especially in the light I hear that President Ahmadinejad tried to beat everybody to the punch. He says, look, I'm going to cut off the oil to the European Union states. You're going to put sanctions on us? We'll cut off the oil to these countries.
Well, that's right. That's his weapon, although much of Europe has been making adjustments, and they're moving very quickly to remove that dependence on the Iranian oil. But certainly they're going to be involved, and you're going to know for sure that Catherine Ashton's involved, because increasingly she and her entire department is trying to say we need to be the spokesman for all of Europe, not the individual country. So even if outwardly in the news we see others speaking, such as France and Britain and Germany, the reality is she's working behind the scenes to say, look, I'm going to have to become the voice. So what we won't see will be the behind the scenes, and that's probably where the real action is and the tensions are going on right now.
Catherine Ashton likes that power position, doesn't she?
Very much so, and that's what she was selected to create. So she's, if you were going to rank her, you'd say, well, she's doing her job. So she not only wants that, but that is the job that she ultimately is supposed to succeed in the European Union.
Rob, I can't talk with you without talking about the financial situation there in the European Union. You mentioned it had an effect on our stock market here in the United States this last week. I read a report that the European Union has record unemployment, 10.8%. It's the highest since the euro was introduced in 1999. This does not help the economic crisis there, does it?
No, it doesn't, and they're getting very concerned because China is slowing down substantially, and that's one of their big markets. So the European Union is facing pressures from both internal and external financially, and that has caused some shakiness on what's called the bond issues and the current rates. And so it is the major issue, and the unemployment certainly is a major issue. And in some of the countries within, it is a graver situation, such as Spain. So very, very serious matter for the EU. They haven't fully solved it. And like many states and governments, there's an enormous inertia that it's slow to make changes. So they are facing several problems: slow decision-making, slow inertia, and a very massive organization in the European Union.
Well, we're watching it slowly from the sidelines as it develops into what is going to absolutely be the infrastructure for that revived Roman Empire talked about in the book of Daniel, chapter 7, there in verse 7, also in verses 23 and 24. And we continue to do that. You know, I talk with these broadcast partners because they bring information to the table, political information that helps us to understand what is happening besides what we read in the headlines. But when I bring a guy like Dr. Rob Congdon, he's a student and a teacher of Bible prophecy. So he is on the same page with us, but knowledgeable enough to be able to talk about the political as these political activities set the stage for the prophetic to be fulfilled. Hey, you're going to fly off this afternoon? You're going to somewhere in New Jersey?
Yes, I'm going to Hamilton, New Jersey. They call it the Blueberry Capital of New Jersey. I'll be speaking all day Sunday, a total of four messages. So anybody there, it'll be Victory Bible Church in Hamilton, New Jersey. You're welcome to come.
Oh, bring me a bunch of blueberries back. Those are good for you. Hey, Rob, thank you so very much for being available. Journeys, mercies as you travel. We'll talk again next week.
Lord bless you. It's always good to talk. Bye.